10 to 8 a.m. the other morning, a guy phones up. Oh, hello, Mr. Marsden. We've discovered a virus in your Microsoft computer. I hung up, right? 10 to 8, hung up. He rings back. Why did you hang up on me? I said, mate, who's bothered? I don't even have access to the internet, let alone a virus in my Microsoft computer. Or do you want me to just hand over all my bank details to you? He hung up. I should try to phone him back and ask him why he hung up.
Definitely a scam, that.
Absolutely.
Happened to my dad. My dad actually gave his bank details.
Oh, no.
Dear. Whatever day it is right now. Time. Whatever time it is right now. Here's Luke.
Hello.
She's Lucy.
Hello.
This is Luke and Lucy FM. What's on this week's episode?
It's the one where we are in awe of the Urchers with David Urcher. We are chatting to real-life voice actor Timothy Bentick, who plays David Urcher, and we're so excited. It's the world's longest-running soap.
It's gonna be right.
To be clear, that is Timothy Bentick.
You took a while to get that out before.
Bentick.
Bentink. Not that hard.
No, yeah. Hello, welcome to Luke and Lucy FM. I'm Luke Marsden, she's Lucy Hilton, and this is a podcast where we discuss a different topic each episode. So many to choose from. This is our 69th episode, and if not listened to any previous ones, just search Luke and Lucy FM on all good platform podcast providers. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboom, Wither, you name it.
Everywhere.
We absolutely are. What's a true fact about you, Lucy Hilton?
I guess the true fact about me, I can literally sleep anywhere and fall asleep at the drop of a hat.
What, literally? Or you actually? So you could fall asleep right now?
I could fall asleep right now.
Right now, try it.
Honestly, right.
Try and fall asleep now.
Night-night.
Go on. Not looking like you're asleep, you just said night-night. Oh, come on. That is absolutely ridiculous, Lucy. You're obviously not asleep, though.
I'm exhausted. Honestly, yeah. I went to a meeting the other day and I just had lunch. And you know when you can't keep your eyes open, your head just keeps going.
Like a nodding dog.
I didn't think I was that bad. But then apparently everyone told me I was hilarious by the end of the meeting.
Well, yeah, because they were probably laughing at the fact that you couldn't keep your eyes open. You looked like some shih tzu who's just had a lot of... Or cat, who's had a lot of catnip.
My head just kept going.
A true fact about me, Luke Marsden, is that my car went for its first ever service this week. And I came back with a £250 bill.
Oh, I think you got off lightly there.
Apparently, I'm excessively and harshly braking. What is the alternative, I want to know? What's the alternative to harshly braking? Softly braking, or wait for it, not braking at all and crashing into other users on the road?
Haven't you only been driving for about 5 months as well?
6 months, to be honest, Lucy. And if you want to know all about my driving saga, just check out the one where we are driven about driving. You'll enjoy that episode, because I talk in detail about how I passed my test on the fifth occasion and failed 4 times.
Surprised you've not crashed yet.
Well, you know what? I want to know. Thank you, Lucy. 6 months on, she's surprised I'm not crashed.
I was in the car with you the other week. And honestly, nearly crashed.
No, we didn't nearly crash. Well, we sort of nearly crashed, but maybe I excessively... Maybe that's what it was.
See, you excessively braked then.
Yeah, well, I had to, Lucy. We nearly crashed.
You braked.
Lucy Hilton, the reason why we're doing this episode, and it's quite an exciting episode for us, we've got a guest coming up who is, frankly, a legend in many, many circles. He's known probably worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you're the kind of reason why we're doing this episode?
Well, obviously, I've heard of The Archers. Who hasn't heard of The Archers? It is the longest soap ever.
In the world.
In the world.
True. Yes.
And probably, is it the only soap on radio?
Yeah, I'd
say. That you just listen to in your ears?
Yeah, just listen to it in your ears. So what, you were just in your car and you put radio, BBC it. Radio 4 on and...
Yeah, so I'd never heard of it before in my... Well, no, I'd heard of it, but I'd
never
actually listened to it ever before in my life. I think my dad said it on in the kitchen before and I've just kind of walked out. And do you know what? Listened to it for the first time this week and it's pretty damn good.
More gripping than like EastEnders of Colwyn.
Yeah, do you know, I actually prefer it because you kind of like make it up in your head of like what the characters look like
and you have an input, even though you could Google the actors and know. I suppose it's strange, isn't it? I mean, in a way, do you think our podcast is like a soap, Lucy? Do you think people are Googling what we look like right now?
Probably not.
If you want to Google what Lucy Hilton looks like, just type in Lucy Hilton on Google, or actually probably best not to Google me.
Just Google me
instead.
There's
some pretty bad images of Google. I don't want you to change your opinion if you listen to this. If you don't know what I look like, just think of...
Luke, you look the same on every single picture.
I would say think of kind of Henry Cavill, who plays Superman. I look very similar to that.
You really do.
I think that's if you've
How
never.
How about?
You know, go on.
Think of Macaulay Culkin on Home Alone.
What, four-year-old
he
boy.
Very similar to that, just with brown hair,
brilliant,
not blonde
that's
hair.
Not remotely. And of course, I didn't have a drug addiction in later life. if you've got a drug addiction right now and need help, just tweet us at
Call
Luke
the
and Lucy.
Samaritans.
Well, oh, well, okay, yeah, we're not going to help. Yeah, so I think Lucy, instead of us waffling on about the Archers, and kind of, I think we need to have more time to a guy who's played the same voice, his own voice, for 35 years.
And we found out recently that he has actually had quite an exciting life. It's not just the Archers.
It is not just the Archers at all. Timothy Bentinck has realistically had one of the best lives, I think, ever. I actually voiced probably one of my girlfriend's favourite films. He's actually an actor, as well as being a voice actor. So that's quite interesting. We're going to find out a lot more about him, I think, Lucy. On the phone, no, Lucy. On Luke and Lucy FM, we're so very excited to introduce a legend who, frankly, has been talking into a microphone longer than you and I have existed. I don't know whether or not that's a compliment. I'm not sure. On the phone, no, he is the voice of David Archer for over 35 years. And welcome to Luke and Lucy FM, Timothy Bentinck. I think we pronounced your surname right, Timothy, correct?
You did.
Oh, great.
You did.
Okay.
A rarity. I was waiting to correct you.
Well, Luke had trouble before trying to pronounce it.
I did. So I wanted to make sure I got it right when you was actually on the phone.
Well, there's a whole page about it in the book, actually, about all different ways of getting it wrong, like, you know, Bentinck and, you know, the rest of it.
Bentinck! That would be a great one.
If you call me Beatnik, I answer to that as well, so it's all right. Beatnik. I can't do anything, really.
Timothy, I mean, where do we start? Okay, so, I mean, for somebody who's never heard of the Archers, which I imagine a lot of people haven't, in a sense that a generation coming up know, how would you even begin to describe it? Emmerdale, but for audio?
Well, what it is I'll give you the potted version. Basically, after the Second World War, Britain was on its knees. It couldn't feed itself. It was importing all its food. And so in order to be able to educate the farmers to better farming practice, they introduced a new... This is in 1951, so it's a bit after the war. And introduced a new radio soap, which in those days, before television, it was huge. It had sort of, I don't know, something like kind of 15, 20 million listeners because wow. It's that old thing, video killed the radio stuff. The stars of the Archers were really, really big. And it was sort of like two-thirds information and a third drama, and over to educate the farmers. And over the years since then, it's mostly drama, but there's still, you know, a lot of agriculture and farming stuff in there. It's meant to be an everyday story of farming folk, although that has now changed to be a bit more contemporary. And every generation, you have to pick up the next generation of listeners, because otherwise it sort of dies with the generation. And so it's constantly kind of reinventing itself and being relevant. And it's basically about a group of people who live in a village in a fictional village called Ambridge, which is in a fictional county called Borsetshire. But basically, it's sort of near Gloucester, really. You know what I mean? Sort of Worcester-Gloucester kind of border thing. You can get the hint from the way that they talk. And I play this character called David Archer, who I've been in it for 35 years. I came in as a young man, and then he got married, and now he's got children. And so all the stories that I was doing with my parents, I'm now doing the other way around with my children.
Wow. Well, it still gets about 5 million listeners, doesn't it, every single week?
It does.
Yeah.
And it's the longest running drama series in the world of any kind.
I know, and you're a part of it. How did you get into this role?
Yeah, why would you even... I mean, it's just a crazy job to have.
Yeah, well, it's not... I mean, the thing about it is, you know, people quite rightly think that if you're in, you know, a soap, that's all you do. And it's not true. I mean, I get paid per episode. So, and, you know, sometimes I get, you know, like one episode a month, or maybe, you know, if I'm doing well, kind of 16 or something. But I'm an actor, and I do lots of stuff. And that's really what my book's about. And that's why I called it Being David Archer and Other Unusual Ways of Earning a Living, because there's a lot, you know, a whole life that is led outside. I go up to Birmingham maybe sort of two or three times a month, and they record four episodes a day, and the episodes go out in the evening and are repeated the next day. And then there's an omnibus on Sunday. And I got into it basically because I'd been at drama school at Bristol, and I won a thing called the Carlton Hobbs Award, which was for the BBC, which gives you 6 months course, on the Radio Repertory Company, so doing lots of radio plays.
Wow.
And because of that, I got invited to audition for this thing called The Archers that I had never heard. I'd never heard it. And I came up to audition for this thing, and they said, yeah, you're playing this guy, David Archer. And I went, I don't really know who he is, but I've heard the guy who played me previously, and we are an uncanny voice match, so I think that's the reason I got it, really.
Obviously, your book, the book is out now, Being David Archer, and Another Unusual Ways to Earn a Living. Is this true? No, I'd heard a rumour about this, so we need some clarity, and I've actually heard this. I was in London last week. Are you the voice of Mind the Gap on London Underground's Piccadilly Line?
Well, I'm an ex-gapper. I was the voice
an ex-gapper.
I was the voice of Mind the Gap for about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
I was all the station announcements on all the between King's Cross and Earl's Court, including Please Stand Clear of the Closing Doors. There's another epic.
Give us another zinger.
The next station is Russell Square. Also, you know, sort of mainstream announcements like that. But, I was. So I've got, two icons of England, the Archers and Mind the Gap. But unfortunately, they dropped me, much to my sadness, because, when my boys are kind of grown up now, but when they were small and they used to be on the Piccadilly Line, they liked it because their dad was looking after them.
Well, exactly. It would be quite cool.
I mean, you're sat there and you realise that you've missed your stop because your dad didn't.
Are you
too busy listening to your dad? I mean, we want to start a petition right now to get you back on Mind the Gap.
Yeah. Absolutely. Reinstate Bentinck as the gapper.
Yeah, exactly. Team Bentinck.
Now, you have had some very unusual kind of different jobs in your life, haven't you? Apart from the Archers, apart from Mind the Gap, what else have you done
that you would consider really strange?
Well, the answer, my dear chaps, is to read the book. It's a great list of them. It is. It's an eclectic thing. It's basically, being an actor is a very insecure profession. And when there's no work coming in, you kind of have to turn your think to have other ideas. And so I've had other ideas all down the line, really. I've got an HGV licence.
I used to
drive trucks when I was younger. I've driven tourists around America. I've done door-to-door. I've been a writer. I've translated a French erotic novel into English.
Oh, hello.
I've done websites, done computer programming, written songs.
On your IMDb, Timothy, on your IMDb, your greatest achievement is being the voice of Gnomeo in Gnomeo and Juliet.
No, I have to correct you there. It's even better than that. It's conjoined gnome left. what it is with IMDb, there's an algorithm with it which basically says that you are known for the movie that has grossed the most of anything you've been in. So it doesn't matter what part you've played in it. If it's a big, high-grossing movie, that's what you get known for. So despite having been on telly all my life and done films and, been in The Archers and done lots of theatre, it says, this is an American thing, decrees that I am best known for conjoined gnome left in Gnomeo and Juliet. So that was actually one of the reasons for writing the autobiography, because I thought, I'm not having it, my kids and grandkids, if they Google me in, 100 years' time and go, what did great-great-grandfather Timothy do? And they'd look me up and they'd find that I was conjoined gnome left in Gnomeo and Juliet, and that was it.
I mean, that's a legacy you've left there. That truly is a legacy.
I thought I'd better, better put the record straight. So I started writing this book, really, for my kids. And then out of the blue, this literary agent got hold of me and said, do you want to write an autobiography? And I said, well, I've started one. He said, well, send it to me. So I sent it to him. He said, oh, this is really good. So he then hawked it around a whole load of publishers, and we got one. The thing is that, I'm a jobbing actor. I do all right, but my name isn't that famous. It's the David Archer, which is famous. So we managed to get Being David Archer on the front cover, and that's the pull, really. But the nature of the book is that it's not just for Archers listeners. I mean, I did write it bearing in mind that, if you weren't an Archers listener, it would be a bit boring. So it's not. It's fun. I take the piss out myself because, it's two steps forward, one step back, and for every time I have had a success, then something else has gone wrong. You go, oh, God, got to start again. Just as you think, you're going to be famous and it's all right, and going to have security in your life, no, that rug gets pulled from underneath you.
Well, anybody that's got a title of conjoined gnome on the left, I mean, surely they have to be able to take the mick out of themselves. I mean, we all do, I suppose.
you've actually...
I do that.
You've written this book yourself, haven't you? There's been no ghostwriters or anything like that. Has it been quite a tough task to do that?
I don't think I've got the patience or stamina to do it.
I tell you what, it's a really good thing to do, you know. I mean, one of the things I say when I have to do kind of the book signings and things is, and I really mean this, is everybody ought to do it. It's a really good thing to do. It doesn't matter. I mean, I just got lucky with this one particular part, you know, and that's the reason why I was asked to write an autobiography. But everybody's got a tale to tell. You know, they really have. You know, I used to hitchhike a lot, and every time you get into a car and somebody would start telling you, you go, oh, my God. You know, everybody's got a story, and you should write it down, because I'm, you know, 64 now, and you go back on your life and you think about things that you might have buried, you know, or that you'd forgotten about, and suddenly you go, oh, my God, I did that and that happened. And you relive your life. And also, just for the record, for your, you know, for your kids, so that they know kind of what you did. I mean, I really, you know, exhort people to write it down. So I did. I just wrote, and when I met the publisher, I said, look, I don't know how to do this because I've never written an autobiography. They said, no, no. They said, you just write it all down and we'll, you know, put the construction.
Churn it out.
Yeah.
If I ever have children, I don't think I ever want them to know half the things I've done.
No, mate, I'll tell you, there are lots of things in it which... which, you know, I haven't told everything. It's not... You can keep your secrets, you know. There are certain things which you're not going to write down for the general public. And that was one of the scary things when it went out. I thought, oh, my God, what have I done? I've told people, you know, so much about me. And it's a kind of scary thought when you lay yourself bare like that.
Of course it is. Well, you know, we've previously, Timmy, had Marcus Bentley on Luke and Lucy FM, and Marcus Bentley, the voice of Big Brother, and he said that he gets recognised everywhere he goes for his voice, because obviously his face is not well known. Maybe his name, like you said, his personal name is not well known, but his voice everywhere is well known. Is that the same with you then? Do people recognise your voice?
No, I mean, I think with him, he's, you know, he's got he's such a distinctive voice. I mean, I don't know whether he puts it on, you know, that whore stuff.
Dear one.
It's like, I mean, you can't go into a shop and say, you know, I'd like a packet of smorgasbord. You know, dear one, I would. And they go, aren't you that bloke off the telly? But, you know, I mean, I'm sure he mutes it a bit. But no, with me, it's really weird because it's out of context. You know, if I'm chatting away, nobody thinks, you know, if they
of
don't
David
know who
Archer.
I am, then, no, they don't kind of put two and two together and go, hang on, isn't that the voice of David? It's only when they know that you're in the Archers, they go, ooh, that voice is familiar. And literally just cold like that. No, it's honestly, I don't think in 34 years, 35 years now,
Have you ever
actually happened.
Have you ever put it on to blag something? I mean, have you ever suddenly started to go on the phone to a pizza company? Maybe started to go into the voice?
No, I mean, there's sometimes, I'll tell you what, there was once I was on a helpline and this person kind of went all sideways and smiley and funny. And then after a bit, they said, I know who you are.
Really?
Kind of, yeah, they kind of got it.
Did they help you?
Yeah, they did. They were very helpful.
Oh, good. That's that's what it takes. That's what it takes in this day and age. Yeah. That's our motto. How do you find... Because obviously, you know, 35 years ago, The Archers was... There was never anything such thing as tweeting and social media or anything
that.
Not even such thing as podcasting. Because The Archers, even if it's not on radio, will live on. It's one of the world's most downloaded podcasts. In fact, actually, it's in the 2017 most downloaded podcasts on iTunes, the back catalogue of The Archers from this year. I mean, kind of, how do you cope with the fact that this is like an evolving thing, it could continue to evolve? Who knows, there'll be holograms of you in 50 years, potentially.
Well, I mean, technology advances. I mean, we've always used scripts to do when we're recording, just, you know, paper scripts. And at one point they said, look, we're going to send you through a PDF and you can do it off an iPad. And we tried that and it just didn't feel right. It felt strange. You know, you get so used to it. There's a bit of technology. There's another bit of technology that could happen is that we could all record, because we all go up to Birmingham and some people come from, you know, a long way away. And then, you know, we stay in hotels and, you know, blah, 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 and have expenses. And of course, if you look at the way The Simpsons is recorded, people are just, you know, all around the world, and they go into a studio and they record it. You know, there might be for five people in the scene, there might be in five different places around the world. That might happen in the future. As you say, we might be holograms of each other, looking at each other, which would make life a lot easier, save me having to go up and down to Birmingham. But at the moment, we don't. We do it pretty much exactly the same way that it was done, you know, in the 1950s. The only difference is that, of course, we're recording digitally. Before you were recording onto disc, and then it was onto tape, and all the sound effects used to be on, you know, on disc, and then they were on tape, and now they're on MP3. You know, the stuff that gets fed into you, in the you're doing a scene, and it gets fed in the sound of the birds and the sound of the tractors in the background, all that kind of stuff. All that's digital. But apart from that, the actual way that we record the program hasn't really changed, apart from the fact it's in stereo now, not mono.
We'd said earlier, obviously, is it like Emmerdale, but audio? Do you wish, for example, you'd done 35 years on, I wouldn't say Hollyoaks, but like Neighbours or something like that, like 35 years on television? Or do you like the fact that you still got, I suppose you still got your anonymity in a way? I mean, is that better? I mean, I don't know, would you have preferred 35 years on screen?
Well, I think my bank manager would have preferred it. You get paid better on telly.
Yes, that's true.
But what you say about the anonymity is absolutely right, is that if you, those soap stars, it's very difficult to find people who have an acting career after those soaps, because they become so identified with their character that people kind of don't believe it. Whereas with me, they might hear the voice, you know, and, you know, Archer's listening. I mean, like, for instance, I don't know if you saw it, Rob Rinder's Crown Court was on last night.
Oh, yeah.
That was me. I was the witness. I was the father of the deceased. And, you know, there was a nice part. And I do lots of telly. I keep cropping up.
But you would never put two and two together,
no,
would you?
Exactly. You'd never know it was David Archer.
No, only Archer's listeners. They all say, oh, yeah, I knew it was you. I could hear you. I could hear the voice. When they know it's you, and they know that, you know, the character plays David Archer is going to be on telly tonight, then they listen, they go, oh, yes, I can tell the voice. But it's not the other way around. If they didn't know it was me, they wouldn't hear it. See what I mean? It's really strange. Mm. So you're quite right about the anonymity, and that's really helpful in terms of being able to do telly and, you know, theatre and everything like that. It's kind of the best of both worlds, in a way.
Would we ever see you eating kangaroo's testicles and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
Do you know what? I was watching it the other day, and I was thinking, it's a real trade-off, isn't it, between, yes, I could, you know, that money would pay the, you know, would be very, very useful, because they do pay well, and that's the only reason for doing it. But, and actually, one of the things is, I feel it's a bit unfair on, you know, on the kangaroo's testicles.
The poor kangaroo.
Eating all those insects, you think, it's a bit gratuitous to eat them live. I mean, you know, I'm not a vegetarian, but I think eating things alive is a bit much, really.
It's gross, isn't
also,
it?
My wife says I would hit the, you know, I would end up in a fight on it, because I'd start to engage people in conversation, and I'd have an argument with them, and then it would all, you know. Not that I ever have, but I think with that intensity of that thing, obviously, I mean, I'm slightly exaggerating, wouldn't get into fisticuffs, especially if the guy was an ex-boxer, obviously. But I think, oh, God, I mean, you know, the starvation, not being able to have a drink.
It's quite tough, isn't it?
Really, really tough.
Not being able to have a fag. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't smoke that much. But, God, to go all that time without... And, you know, just the privations of life, I think, oh, I'm not sure if I could do that. But it would be a challenge.
Exactly.
If they ever asked me, I would find it difficult to turn down, I think.
Absolutely. Timothy, for those people who've thinking about picking this up, what advice would you give them to pick up Being David Archer, the book?
If you're a young actor, buy it, because it tells how you can survive in this business without necessarily having fame and fortune. And I've had a great life. I've done so many, you know, different things, because I'm kind of person. I'm pretty optimistic. I tend to say yes to everything, and it's got me into scrapes, and it's got me into adventures, and it's taken me around the world. And I don't sit at a desk every day, and every day is different. So from a young actor's point of view, read it, and it'll tell you all sorts of ways of earning money, particularly in the voice industry, because I put my finger in every single pie going on the voice side of things. I've just done 2 weeks of doing a computer game called Vermintide, in which I am the witch hunter Victor Salzpire.
Oh.
there's another unusual way of earning a living. And it'll make you laugh. I mean, I promise you, if you read the reviews now on Amazon, the one consistent thing is that they say, you know, that they've really, that they've enjoyed it, and they had laugh out loud moments. And I don't take myself seriously. And it's not one of those actory things about, you know, silly things that happened on stage and tales of freezing digs and bloody sort of stuff. It's not like that at all, because I've done different things.
Timothy Bentick, David Archer, thank you so much for being on Luke and Lucy FM.
My great pleasure. Lovely talking to you.
You too.
Oh, what a life.
Honestly, it is so interesting to hear, like, how
35 years
many
of his
things
voice.
He's done. I know.
Do you think he's sick of his own voice?
No,
I don't.
Probably not.
Are we sick of our own voices? If you're interested, by the way, in Timothy's book, which, by the way, I'm not saying I wouldn't say no to it as a present. Then
Christmas present.
It's available in all good bookstores now, Amazon online, wherever you want to get it. It is out now, so that is great. That is it for this episode of Luke and Lucy FM. If you want to do check out all previous episodes, just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes or go to audioboom.com/channel/Luke and Lucy FM. We've had loads of different stuff before. We've had four famous voice actors, Marcus Bentley, Anthony Scordy has been on it previously as well. He's a famous voice actor, so, you know, check those out. And you, if you're missing our voices, just listen to all previous episodes constantly on loop. Are you not going to say anything else, Lucy? Is that it?
That's it, I think.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, she's done. She's lost her own voice. Flaming hell.
You just
listened to Luke and Lucy FM. Why not listen to it all over again? Oh, and please, leave us a review on iTunes. Pretty please.
Luke and Lucy FM is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. Come visit us at www.podnose.com. That's PODNOSE.com.